Hey everybody, listening to the Wait What If podcast. I am outside once again. It's 72 degrees. It's actually mid-afternoon. I never do it during mid-afternoon outside. I don't know why. I'm always busy. I got a freaking life. But you hear that? It's windy. It's breezy out. And I'm doing my best. I have a wind filter on this and everything, but it's still so breezy. I'm catching a little background noise. Very unprofessional in the recording world to have that happen. So just call me unprofessional if you want to do that. This week's episode, I have Tyler, or Elder. He goes by both names. I guess if you watch his videos, he'll explain why. I guess his friends call him Elder, and he introduces himself as Tyler sometimes. But he is the curator of The Open Debate. If you just go onto YouTube and search for The Open Debate, you'll find him. It's my last political show. Then I'm done with that because it's depressing the hell out of me. But he had some good ideas. He had some interesting feedback to give about this current weird world we're in. You know, I'm sitting right here and I'm downwind of my smoker and I'm smoking some pork because that's what we do down here in North Carolina. And it's like an applewood smoky. It's freaking delicious. It's making my mouth water. It's like two in the afternoon and we still got 3 more hours on this thing and it just smells so good. We are brought to you by We Are Dappertized. Check out wearedappertized.com. If you use the promo code WHATIF, all one word, WHATIF, at checkout, you get free shipping. So you save $5 right there. They got really cool ties. Go check them out. Go to wearedappertized.com. You can learn about their story. They have nice ties. That's all I can say. If you wear ties, if you wear them to work, and typically you wear yeah, buddy. Yes, I will do that. Okay. Okay, in 2 minutes. Go get your shoes on. Oh, you do? Okay, we'll be there in 2 seconds.
I'm gonna potty and put my shoes on already.
All right, we'll be there. Sounds good. Okay, so wearedappertized.com, what if at checkout. Hope you enjoy this episode. Check out, go onto YouTube and look up Better Off Med. I don't really have a website for it yet, but Better Off Med is my new project. I talk about everything medical, try to answer questions, try to curtail any myths out there about medicine. So yeah, check that out. Better Off Med, We Are Dappertized. I think that's all. So enjoy the program. Bye.
You're listening to the Wait What If podcast.
There I am.
Oh, all right. Hey, man. I'm Kevin. Nice Perfect. To meet you.
Nice to meet you.
What's your
Tyler?
What's your Tyler? Okay. When you say
friends call me Elder, so
oh, okay. All right, that's what I was gonna say. I noticed there was two names on your videos. This whole like little series I've been doing has been kind of fun because you're the third or fourth. I think you're the fourth YouTuber that I've just chatted with about, you know, the current state of politics and all that. But I found a group of you guys that are kind of young. You're channels are just starting, and the commonality is that you guys are basically speaking out about this. You know, you're not wearing your political parties on your shoulder. Most of the guys, I don't even know where you stand, but the one thing that y'all have in common is that you're level-headed and you use logic and you discuss. I think though, with that said, it's been just depressing, you know, seeing all this stuff and being on YouTube and watching all this stuff unload. So I think this is going to be my final political show, and then I'm going back to my old ways after this.
Time to take a break.
Yeah. So welcome aboard.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
So tell me about your show. When did you start your show? What's your goal with it? All that good stuff.
Yeah. Didn't start it too long ago, maybe about 2 months or 3 months. Very recent. I've been recently getting into politics. Like you said, the last election there, it really sparked an interest in people that wouldn't necessarily be interested in politics, I guess you would say.
Sure. Yeah.
Like you said, it's very interesting, but it's also kind of scary in the same sense. It's like watching a movie, but it's playing out in real life. Mm-hmm. So there's the real consequences to what's going on. And, but like you said, it's like, what's going to happen next? You can't even, couldn't imagine what's going to happen next.
No. And then you throw in like turmoil across the globe, and that doesn't help at all. You know, did you hear that North Korea just developed, or no, they think that they can reach mainland USA now.
Yeah, I did hear that. Yeah. Like, yeah. Oh, so
freaking great.
I don't know what I believe in it, but still, that's the scary thought. But yeah, no. So, I've been wanting to say stuff about just what's been going on around in the world for a while. I talk to my friends and stuff, obviously, but not everybody likes to hear about it. So I figured may as well just speak my mind while I still can, because like I am here in Canada and the laws are changing every day.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure, you know, free speech, it's a limited thing when it comes to like what you can and can't talk about and how people perceive what you're saying, I guess.
I guess
is the main thing.
There was a band up there that got in trouble for singing Kung Fu Fighting. Did you hear about that at all?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you know the song, right? Everybody, I'm not going to sing it. Oh, but yeah. They played it, I don't know what your laws are or anything like that, but I guess it was offensive and they either had to pay a fine or they went to jail or something like that. And that blows my mind. I mean,
no, that's pretty ridiculous. Yeah.
George Orwell would be just sitting here, I think, tapping his foot, being like, I told you so. You know, keep it up and you're going to see some serious shit hit the fan. I mean, and that's what it feels like. And it's terrifying, actually. The other thing that I notice about it is like, so there would be one way to march in and, all right, there'd be one way to do it would be to march in and have a government just lock down everything, okay? We're a totalitarian regime. You can't say this. You can't say this. Initiate doublespeak. Initiate basically 1984, okay? That's science fiction. You know, it could happen. I mean, look at North Korea, but not in a free country like this. However, and I guess it's been over the last year or so, maybe 2 years, where... perfect example where folks try to, like, let's say you're everyday guy, you're nice, you have neighbors, you say hi to everyone, you go to work, you come home, you raise your family, and that's pretty much all you want to do. However, you happen to be white, so you know you might not be racist. So in order to keep that person under check would be to convince him that he's subconsciously racist and that he should check everything he says or does in order to... So basically, it's like a sneaky back way to regulate how people speak and how people act and how people think rather than, what say you?
Yeah, and both have the same end result.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is limiting how we live and our expression of just ourselves in general and to be human beings. And it comes down to like what like a base purpose of like what we are and why... You know, everybody thinks about like what's the purpose of life and why are we here? But like that is one of the root things is to express yourself and be an individual person. Like mm-hmm. we're all different in many different ways. Like we're all individual people. So to suppress those feelings is such a contrast to what is natural in life.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I feel.
And yeah. I think that there is a little bit of, so there's truth to it, obviously. And I told you this in my email, you know, there are racists out there and there are people who don't like gay people and wish harm on, you know, folks that just aren't like themselves. But when you drive them underground, you no longer know who they are. You know, they're following a checklist of appropriate things to say, and then they go into their house and who knows what they're planning or who knows what they're doing. And it's dangerous, I think, in a way.
Yeah, I have the same idea around it. You need to let people say what's on their mind so that you know what they're thinking.
Yeah.
And it's out in the open. And the less that you talk about it, like as if the information is still being brought up to people, like if people still know what's going on, but it's just being pushed underground and they're not being talked about, mm-hmm. it drives even more of like a hatred or like a division between the two groups. Like nothing can be worked out that way. It's always going to remain the same, if not get worse.
Sure. But I think that's kind of what they want. I mean, if they can keep race relations bad, or at least if they can convince people that they're bad, then you have, you know, the almighty government that can step in and save you from victimhood. We're seeing it with like the perfect example is like the Women's March. People are out marching for equal rights for women. Last time I checked, women don't have a different set of rights than men in this country. They have all the rights that men have. You know, you go to Saudi Arabia, I don't know if you ever traveled the world, but there's some places where women definitely don't have the rights that men have. And again, you know, so then they might argue, well, it's not implicit rights, or no, I shouldn't say that. It's not actually written down rules that we aren't getting, but it's de facto rights. You know, we're second class citizens. And again, if you convince people of that, then you have a bit of control over them. Both sides, you convince the, so if you're got a small business and someone decides that they want to call you a racist or a misogynist, that can cost your livelihood. It's like a scarlet letter, right? Let's go back to the channel itself. So you said you started about 3 months ago. Was it like an epiphany during that time? Did you have some sort of political change of heart, or tell me about that?
So I had been thinking about starting the channel for a while, and a few different things had happened, and I wanted to speak out about them. And then, you know, if you don't speak out about something, you see other people speaking out about it. And it's not that you shouldn't still speak out about it. The drive instantly, it just isn't the same. It just isn't instantly there, right. which you should always keep in mind that, like, no matter what the time, no matter what the topic, you should always just take the time to speak about what you want to speak about, which is something that I've been keeping in mind lately. But I don't know. I don't know really what it was. It was just about a week. I put out a video basically just saying that I wanted to start making videos,
right,
and that I want to, just a little thing about like religion and stuff, because I question religion all the time, and just what is God, basically. Mm-hmm. And then I didn't put anything else out for a month. So like, I don't really consider that like anything. Like, I just like was like, yeah, I'm gonna, that was me thinking I'm going to start this. And that's when I read the story about Evergreen, and I just really couldn't wrap my head around what was going on.
Right.
Like, everything that I read about it, like I kept reading and kept reading different stories, being like, what am I missing? There's gotta be something else here. Like, why, like watching the videos and seeing the outrage of these students, it's like, what happened? Who said what? And it's like, no, there's nothing going on. Like, and it just blew my mind. So I was like, you know what? Like, I'm going to say something about this, because like, you see a lot of anti-white rhetoric just being promoted all the time. And I was seeing that, and I was thinking like, I'm a black person, and I have such a problem seeing this. It's like, who would think that this is right? And like, I don't know. I just felt like it wasn't right, and somebody should say something about it.
Perhaps
from like the opposite perspective, somebody like from that you could consider a black person being like, hey, this isn't right. I don't know who these people think they are, but they don't represent all black people. That's for sure. But I don't know. Yeah. So that was how the first video went up and stuff.
For listeners who don't know what it is, Brett Weinstein, by now you have to know, because I don't know if you don't, your head's under a rock, but is it Weinstein or?
Yeah, Weinstein, I believe.
Okay. So he was a professor, and they had this thing where every year it was based on a play where black, Asian, Hispanic, any minority group wouldn't show up to school that day. From what I understand, I might be wrong, but I think that's what it was. And it was kind of a way to say, okay, look, at this is what the world is like without us. Fine. But someone came up with the idea that said, hey, let's just exclude white people. And Brett went, so basically meaning if you're white, don't come to school. I mean, I suppose you can, but then, you know, we fall back to that de facto, you know, you'll be called a racist, you'll get that scarlet letter, and then you're screwed. So I keep saying Weinstein, I think that's it, but he kind of just mentioned what you said. He's Jewish, and he said, you know, grabbing or taking an entire group just because of their genotype and saying you can't do this doesn't sit well with me, considering my family's history. You know, the Holocaust he was talking about. He's like, you can't do that. That's all he said.
Yeah, well, that was the difference earlier, like through the past years. It's a voluntary act. So like all the minorities would voluntarily leave for the day.
Okay.
And this year, they initially, I guess, asked all the white people to leave. But then like it's the fact that they forcefully asked and made it like almost like a mandatory thing. Like they were making it a very big deal if mm-hmm. you didn't leave, whereas like for all the white people, whereas in all other years, it's just voluntary thing. If you're a minority and you don't want to come to school that day, I guess there were workshops that you could attend,
right?
Like anti-racism and different things. And, but yeah, so like the whole thing was that this year they were adamantly forcing the white people not to come to school that day, instead of just having it a voluntary yeah. thing that they could do. Yeah, so like that's what he was upset about, and that's what he outlined in the letter, that's pretty racist. You can't just force people not to come to school based on their ethnicity.
Yeah.
Sure, if it's voluntary, that's fine, but if you're forcing them, then no. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with saying that? Yeah. That's the truth.
Or let's say there was something wrong with it. Let's say whatever he said was racist. What's wrong with him saying it? You know what I mean? What's wrong with starting a conversation and having discourse? It's like there's people out there who are afraid to debate or have discourse or have dissent. It's strange.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a part of this new culture where everybody stays in their own little bubble.
Right.
And, if you have a different opinion, they just cut you off and stay within their own echo chamber and they don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
And it's just a really bad way to live, because you keep thinking that the ideas that you put forth are right, and they may not be. You got to test those theories. You got to push the boundaries. See what's going on.
Yeah, and everyone changes.
Make sure everything's solid.
I mean, you think about where you were 10 years ago or whatever, and just by reading and by time. I mean, that's part of life. It's part of life to say, oh my gosh, I used to believe in that, but I think I was telling you, you know, I work in science, and you know, I will change completely my treatment regimens based on learning and talking to other PAs or talking to other doctors, to sit there and say, you know, this is what the evidence shows. This is what I think is a good choice. Oh, by the way, have you seen this latest study that says maybe this is a better thing to do? Oh, okay. And I don't sit there and say, oh my gosh, I was wrong, I'm insulted, blah, blah, blah. I say, great, you know, let's try something mm-hmm. else. And I guess you can relate that to political discourse. I think also there's the millennials, what year were you born?
I was born in 91.
Okay, so you're a millennial. Sorry, man.
So I guess so.
Yeah. So there's a group of millennials that I feel are afraid to lose, or afraid to get beat up a little bit. Not seriously, but you know, theoretically beat up a little
bit. No, yeah, in both senses probably.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. And that's what is going to happen when someone debates you. They're going to take what you believe in and may tear it down. And I was talking to, are you familiar with Dr. Chris Ryan?
No, I'm not.
He wrote a book called Sex at Dawn, and I had him on my podcast. And
cool.
We were talking about how there's a whole generation of people who only know comfort. You know, they only know, and I mean, it's good that they don't know, you know, what a Great Depression is like, or what suffering is like. But when you don't have that suffering and everything is good, I think there's like this deep down and innate genetic need for us to struggle. You know, we need a struggle. We need, whether it was hunting our food 5,000 years ago, or whether it was, I don't know, working 16-hour days. There's something in us that when we work hard for something, we feel good about it at the end, because it's just, and I think that feel good is that genetic component that says, all right, this worked out, your family's fed or whatever, you succeeded, keep doing it. You know, suffering is okay if the end is good. You take that away, and I think people, people are looking to suffer. So you get the group of kids over at Evergreen, and they needed their D-Day. They needed their Selma March, but it's nothing like that. You know what I mean?
No. Oh yeah. No. No. These kids are in college.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're in college. Like,
they
first
need
of all, you're not oppressed.
Yeah,
you're not oppressed. You're in college already. Yeah. I'm just like baffled. I'm baffled. I'm absolutely mind blown by the mindset that these kids must have.
Yeah.
Like, it's self-oppression. You're bringing it on yourself. And I agree with what you're saying. If there isn't a conflict to bring up, you do just look for any little thing. And it's once again, it's not good.
Yeah. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know if what the answer for that is. And I think maybe it just comes down to parenting. Teach your kids to freaking work a little bit and to get beat up. It's fine. It builds character. I mean, I know that's cheesy, but it does. It you know, a little bit of suffering is good, because then you know when it's bad. And
I agree. You need the bad times to make the good times good.
Sure.
To understand why they're good. To understand what makes that good time a good time, what it is, that the yin and the yang, you know, it's contrast.
Sure. So did I read, and I kind of joked with you during our initial email there, but where I said, did you used to be a snowflake? Did you used to be on that side?
I was never, it was never heavily political, so I wouldn't have considered myself like a leftist or anything, but, I've never gotten offended by anything, but,
you were never triggered?
No, I was never like literally triggered, but I would have definitely advocated for things that I didn't wholeheartedly understand, I guess. So like violence against Black people in the United States by police. Like, I understand that is a big issue, but I didn't ever understand that the issue just went deeper than like systemic racism in the police force.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, it's a much deeper issue than that. It's not just like, yeah, cops on average are racist. No, they're not. No. There are some racist people in general out there. And there's many more factors, but like little things like that. I would have probably called myself a feminist, just not even like looking into the movement itself and seeing what it was promoting. Things like that. I just wasn't as consciously aware of what was going on within the political hemisphere.
Yeah. How do you even define feminist? You know what I mean? Like, If I use any traditional, or if I make any decisions based on, I don't know, I guess you would call patriarchy, right? I guess what someone would call patriarchy, then technically I'm a misogynist. However, two of the most important people in my life right now are women. You know, my wife is way more educated than I am. She's a doctor. So, and my daughter, I mean, she's obviously one of the most important people in my life. I would do anything for them. My mom, you know, all the women in my life, my boss is a woman and she's a doctor. So it's like, I don't hold any disdain or anything for, in fact, I don't even think about it. You know, I don't go to work and be like, here's my female. Oh, and she's Black. Here's my female Black doctor, boss. No, I just deal with her as who she is. And I deal with my, you know what I mean? However,
yeah, you just live your life.
However, I would be probably deemed a misogynist for, I don't know, telling my daughter that she looks good in pink. I don't know. I have no idea. But it clouds.
Sure.
It clouds any sort of discourse. So all this bullshit that goes out there, it makes just having regular discussions almost impossible. One of the reasons why I want to stop doing these political shows is that I'm literally afraid that someone's going to take a soundbite of something I said and turn it around and then destroy my show that I've been working my ass off for 3 years to launch, you know?
Yeah.
It's a genuine fear.
Yeah, and it would be a deliberate lie, most likely. Like, they would most likely take it out of context. And that's usually what happens with these situations. So like with the whole like, well, why is the voice of a feminist being projected so strongly in this like negative light, when the average person that reads the definition of feminism and understands it as just gender equality or equality for the genders, like both genders, why are...
Oh, crap.
Just hit a button and I lost... All right. I'm sorry. Just repeat like the last 10 seconds you said. I accidentally lost the audio for a second.
That's okay. I was just saying that I don't understand why certain voices within the feminist movement are being heard so much louder than the average person that with common sense that would understand the definition of feminism as equality of the genders. So why do you have people like Madonna out there saying, I'm a feminist and let's burn down the White House? Like, well, those two things aren't, they have nothing in common. Right. And B, just like, that's a negative thing to be saying. Or like, don't shame our bodies and walking around naked.
Yeah.
It's like, that's not a proper way to approach this subject. But I was just saying that it's strange that those are the voices that are being heard the loudest.
Yeah. Well, first off, good on you for starting a YouTube channel. I think it's one of the cool miracles of modern technology is that we're all afforded something that 10 years ago, maybe 15 years ago, we wouldn't have had an opportunity to do. You know what I mean? You wouldn't have your own basic, you know, TV show. It's just to crack into that would have been nearly impossible. And now we have the ability to do it. Where do you see yourself going with this channel? Like what's your vision?
I'm not too sure. I would like to be able to make this a full-time thing.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been very like just super into production, and I've been into like film my entire life, but more so like the production end and like directing and just like different things like that. But it would be cool. I've had like 1,000 different dreams in my life, but to incorporate a lot of things together, that's the whole thing. I am a millennial, I guess. Like right. We've been told that we can do anything and just
there's a
go
great,
out and do it, right?
There's a great article on, are you familiar with Wait But Why? I think it's Wait But Why or something like that. It's a website where the guy uses cartoons to just kind of describe things that happen. He explains things really well that way. But one of them is he talks about why millennials aren't happy. I'll link to it for the listeners. It's really, really interesting because he talks about how our parents grew up and how how they judged success, and that kids today judge success by, I don't know, freaking unicorns and Skittles falling from the sky. And when you don't even meet that or when you come near that, it's depressing because you realize, wait a minute, life isn't all rainbows and candy. It's kind of a struggle.
Yeah. No, it's 100% true. Yeah.
But I digress. Did you take classes on video production or audio production or anything like that?
No, but I've messed around with just, different things my whole life. There's the school, Toronto Film School here, okay, in Ontario. And I've done a tour of that school. I was going to, but it's super expensive and you know you get out of it what you put in,
right,
but it's really, really expensive.
Hey,
but basically like when I was in high school, like I really wanted to become a journalist. Mm-hmm. And my guidance teacher told me that there was just no future in journalism and that it was a dying dying industry. And I guess like to be fair, at the time that's what it looked like. But I mean, if I had have just stuck with that, it's a booming industry. It's great. I could have easily become an independent journalist. And so I think incorporating like journalism with video production and just generally, I enjoy like the whole like spiritual side of life or like the motivational side of life, just like trying to better myself and better, just become a better person in everything I can do, or like see blessings in the little things in life and try to like find a lesson in any little thing. So like, I like indulging in that sort of thing as well. So I've been thinking about the direction that it's going to take, and I more journalistic, more of a broader range of topics, not just political events, because I am interested in the political side of life just because of, as like over the past year, I've realized that it has such a large impact on our lives, obviously. So pay attention. But I'm interested in so much more than politics, obviously.
And it's freaking so cool that we have the ability to do this. Like this show, I'm it's a radio show, and I'm talking to people on pretty much every continent except Antarctica. Wouldn't have been able to do that 10 years ago. 20 years ago, I mean, I might have had the thought about doing it 10 years ago, but 20 years ago, it didn't exist. This didn't exist. We couldn't do this. And it's only growing from there. The good thing is it's kind of good and bad, you know, because it's so easy to do. There's a lot of shit out there that you got to filter through, but it also allows you to identify and have a more, I guess you call it, intimate relationship with your audience, you know, with the viewers that you want to engage with. So instead of, you know, 100,000 people and some are just listening to 10 minutes of it, you could have 10,000 people who are really, really engaged. And, you know, as a result, you get to meet a lot of really cool people. Just doing this podcast in and of itself, this is probably my 80th, maybe 90th interview. And those are 90 conversations I got to sit down and have with people and share with whoever wants to listen, whoever's that motivated to engage in the topics that I come up with. So it's just, it's really cool. It's a fascinating age to be in. I wonder, you know, and it's hard to do it. I wonder where it's going to go. You know, right now we're kind of spread out. We got YouTube. We got people who are famous from freaking Vine, which is what, 10-second videos, 9-second. I've never used Vine. But we have people who are famous just from Twitter, and it's all kind of spread out. And who knows, you know, who knows in 10 years, will all this come together? Will there just be like, everyone has a live stream of their consciousness and everyone would be able to just tap into it if you want, almost like being John Malkovich?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, because you got to look way down into the future. Actually, you don't even have to look that far because technology increases exponentially, right? So what took 50 years to create, you know, to this date is only going to take about maybe 10 years, maybe less. In fact, the first 15 years of the 2000s of this new millennium, we equaled the progress that we did for the entire 20th century. Yeah. And so that's doubling. So in the next 7 years, so from 2015 to 2022 and a half, we will have doubled it again. So you're basically talking 2 centuries of technology in 22 years. And then from there, it's going to double there and there and there. And then, so you're looking at like 2030 will be when the real far out crazy shit, like AI and us plugging our brains in and I don't know, experiencing life is a big glob in a cloud somewhere.
That's not even far away at all.
No, it isn't. It isn't. I think people don't have, and you know, have you ever heard of Ray Kurzweil?
No.
So he's a futurist and he's really, really accurate with his predictions. You can look at him, I think back since the 90s, he kind of makes predictions about technology and he's probably about 90% right. I mean, he predicted cell phones, iPhones. I don't even know, but he's predicted a lot of stuff. And he has that weird sort of future coming in between 2030 and 2050. The weird future meaning, like, let's say you get a brain injury. And nowadays, you're screwed, at least for the meantime. Once you destroy those neurons, they can regenerate, they can repair themselves to some extent, but usually you have to retrain, which is why like a person falls off a motorcycle, they have to learn to talk again because those neurons are destroyed. Well, he has brought up things like nanotechnology, being able to inject nanobots into your bloodstream and have them go straight to the neurons and repair them, maybe with, you know, synthetic nerve fibers or something like that. So if you start wiring your brain with synthetic nerve fibers, you know, at what point do you just rewire the whole thing? Because you want to get rid of brain cancer, you want to get rid of Alzheimer's. And then if that's the case, that at what point can you upload that and in theory live in perpetuity?
Yeah, it's true.
What was, you said
yeah,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say Elon Musk was speaking about what he was calling like a neural lace, and speaking about artificial intelligence and saying that the next stage would be like a lace, like a third layer of like brain to be implanted like in your brain. And then like a week later, the Huffington Post had an article about it as well. So it's like, it's a real thing that's going on. And it's like, you know, we're moving towards the physical implant stages of artificial technology or artificial intelligence. But like, once again, like you were just saying, where does that lead us? And where does like the, where's the line? Like when are you just like uploading yourself to the internet, or like what is going on in general? I'm not a big fan of introducing technology into the human body.
Yeah, it's got its pluses and it's got its minuses. I mean, the pluses, obviously you can heal and regenerate from devastating injuries and illnesses. The minuses, you know, people are going to start voluntarily doing that. You know, I'm 5'8". I'm built as a wrestler. I used to wrestle, but you know, I can't shoot hoops to save my life. But suppose I really, really want to, you know, let's say I want to be 6'8" and now I can implant that. And now I'm competitive. It's almost like your dreams will be at your fingertips. But yeah, you know, talk about kids having no suffering nowadays or no idea of what hardship is. If you can become whoever you want with the push of a button, really, then I don't know what the next generation has. It can be frightening and a little bit depressing at the same time. Because I have little kids.
I agree.
I don't know what... I think we're kind of used to the lives that we have. And trying to picture what they could be can be a little upsetting, I guess. But if you consider where you were 15 years ago, before iPhones, before things like that, you would probably say, you know, I like to read newspapers. Like my dad might have said, I like to read newspapers. Why would I want to pick up a little piece of plastic and turn it on and read my, you know, my news that way? And it kind of just like, it just slowly incorporates into our lives. And then you actually can't see what it's like without it, you know, in a very short time.
Yeah. I completely agree. Some things that you wouldn't ever assume you would fall into, you would. And not even that, like, you know, we would argue that, oh, it's better to read the paper on the phone. You have access to all of the papers. You can just scroll through it. But, you know, there's benefits and there's negativity from both. You know, like, I don't know, from both. Like, you can read multiple stories on the phone, but if that phone has no battery or there is no electricity or it dies, you're left without any information. Yet with the newspaper, you have a physical copy. So there it is. You have that information.
Yeah.
You know, benefits and whatnot.
Have you ever been without power and you go into a room and you hit the switch and you're like, oh yeah, I forgot I don't have power. Let me find my flashlight. And then you hit the switch again, trying to turn the light to find your flashlight. And you're like, come on. It's just constant.
Oh yeah.
Where you go to check your phone, you're like, it doesn't work. So you check your phone again. You're like, I just checked it. It's not working. Why would I expect it to work? So you said you went on a spiritual journey, or I guess you're still in a spirit. We're all on a spiritual journey, I guess, or trying to figure out what all this means. Where, you know, tell me about that. Where did you start and where do you find yourself now?
Well, I grew up in a family that was like, not like super religious. We went to church and we believed in God and everything. And I went to church until I was 8, but always like had a belief in God and stuff. It was just, I don't know, not too sure why we stopped going, but we did. But it's always been like around in my life, like just religion's always been like prevalent. It's always been there. I've just been around it, I guess you could say. And I'm a very inquisitive person, so I always question a lot of things. And obviously, like, if you grow up religious and you're not afraid to ask questions about what's going on, there are a lot of things that don't necessarily add up. In general, they just don't add up. They don't add up. Right. And this Christianity, obviously, is what I grew up with. And yeah, so I started questioning religion more and more. Basically, I don't know how long ago it was, a while ago, my grandmother, she got entrapped by Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yep.
So she started... they started coming to her place and talking to her, and she just kept going, kept having discussions. So I decided to join in and just like ask them basically everything. And like the one good thing is that they're down to talk about whatever. You can ask them whatever you want. And like if they have an answer, they have an answer. If they don't, you know, they'll try to figure it out. But maybe there isn't an answer. That's what I'm saying. Maybe there isn't always an answer. And so yeah, I've just been just really pushing the boundaries of like what I believe in. And I can definitely say at this point, I don't agree with any religion. You know, we're all equal individuals. We make mistakes, we make flaws, and anything that's been written down has been written down by somebody just the same as you or me. So there's just as good of a chance that he made a mistake writing down the supposed word of God as I could have made. So like, you can't take that at it's at face value that like the Bible or anything's the word of God in my eyes. It's not that I don't believe in God. That's the whole thing. Like if I think about in reality, the only thing that I have like an irrational faith in or an irrational belief in would be God. Like I don't formally have any evidence to back it up, but I don't have anything to disprove it fully either, like the idea of God. And so I do believe in God. There isn't really much that's going to change my mind around that. There's not much that could prove God exists to me, and there's not much that could disprove it. It's kind of in a limbo state, and it's almost like that's where it needs to be for religion to work. Like if you want to believe in God, it needs to be faith based. Like it needs to be something that you believe in or you don't. For him to come out and be like, hey, I'm God, then there would be no need to believe in God. So it just doesn't really make sense in that sense. But outside of that, the religious aspects, like how to worship God or how, what God wants or blah, 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 all that, not a clue. I'm just searching, looking into anything I can find, questioning everything. I've looked heavily into Islam because I was thinking initially like, oh, maybe this is a great religion. Maybe this is something that I could potentially be. No, it's not for me either. Not for me either. Yeah.
Well, I think one of the major flaws with these big organized religions is their belief of their own infallibility, if that's even a word. But, you know, you take a devout Christian and the ones who say, oh, you can only be saved through Jesus, you know, that's the only way you can go to heaven. Or then you look at a devout, I don't know much about Islam, but I'm sure they have other tenets, or I'm sure they have tenets to their religion that says the only way to God is through the teachings of Muhammad. And then you look at, Hindu, and you look at it, there's a meme out there where it says, it's an atheist, and he's comparing the amount of gods that he doesn't believe in to the amount of gods that a Christian doesn't believe in. And the list, there's like 200 gods, and on the Christian side, there's only like 199. That's the difference between the two, and it's kind of a funny thing.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, there's a little bit of truth to that. And I don't know if, you know, if there is a God, I think people have tried to capitalize on that by starting religions. Absolutely, it makes sense to me. And I think that whole capitalistic way of approaching religion, I think it ran its course when information started becoming accessible to the masses, you know, maybe during Roman times, you know, or during, I think it was Constantine that brought Christianity to Rome, the, you know, most people were illiterate and they needed priests to read the Bible to them. They couldn't even read it. It wasn't until it was translated, I think, by the, I can't remember the first Bible that you could read. But a lot of that, if you look at it and just look at it with a critical mind, you say, wait a minute, this is a little weird, you know, that this has all the underpinnings of someone trying to control someone else based on,
yeah,
you know, religion. So, it, you know, if I'm trying to control you and you're uneducated, you're a farmer in 10th century, some European countryside, and I say, hey, I know life really, really sucks right now. It's really bad. But if you follow me devoutly and you follow these rules, paradise awaits. And who wouldn't do that? One of the biggest downfalls, I was obsessed with Scientology for a while. I watched all the little documentaries that came out. One of the biggest downfalls of Scientology was people being able to access information. So they would isolate their folks quite strictly. They would isolate them. And then there's a guy named Ron Miscavige. He's the head of it right now. Or maybe it's David Miscavige. I think it's David Miscavige. But his father was, you know, a devout Scientologist. And he got out of it because he had a Kindle with all the Scientology books on it. And he didn't realize you could press a button and be on the internet. Because it wasn't, remember, I don't know if they still have it, but they had like a 3G connection for free. And so he started reading the information out there. And he's like, oh my God, seriously? Like his whole life just flashed in front of him and said, this is all bullshit. And he immediately got out of it. But it's kind of, you know, with Christianity and, well, all the world religions, it's kind of reaching that point now where people can look at it critically and be like, wait a minute, come on, really? This is, I'm supposed to believe in this right here? Yeah, and debate is more open, and things like Reddit, you can go on there and talk to people who are, you know, different religions, and I don't know, it's almost like a, I guess it would be like a melting down of the structure of a religion into, I hate to use this term, but a melting pot of spirituality.
No, yeah, I agree. Completely agree.
Plus, there's some shit that just doesn't make sense. So I went down a rabbit hole today. Are you familiar with the Berenstain Bears?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I didn't know if up in Canada they had something different. But so Berenstain Bears, if you could spell it off the top of your head, how would you spell it?
B-A-R. Bear. I-N-S-T-E-I-N.
Exactly, right?
Berenstain.
Everyone remembers right. The Berenstain Bears or Berenstain Bears. S-T-E-I-N, right? But there's a group of people out there. How the hell did I get onto this? Whatever, we'll talk about it. There's a group of people out there who think that at one point, this is called the Mandela Effect, at one point, our reality crossed paths with a separate reality, another parallel universe. And some of us went through and some of us stayed. And the people who stayed swear that it's the Berenstain Bears, B-E-R-E-S-T-E-I-N. But if you look at everything, it's S-T-A-I-N. It's the Berenstain Bears. And they actually say Berenstain Bears like on the cartoons and stuff. But no one ever remembers it ever being called that. So we're the people, I guess, that got stuck in a parallel universe.
And I'll tell you, man, I've looked into the Mandela Effect. Like this is some serious, there's some serious things out there. There's some serious things to be questioning about, like what's going on.
So like,
what is actually happening?
Tell me what your thoughts are with the Mandela.
Here's a good question for you. You ever heard of turmeric?
Yeah.
How do you spell it?
Turmeric. I'm self-professed horrible speller, but I would say T-U-M-E-R-I-C.
Because that's how we say it, and that's the word that we know. I tell you right now, you can go and look at that word, say it out loud, and you will still say the wrong word. The word is turmeric.
T-U-R-M-E-R-I-C.
I'm not even sure how to actually spell it. I just know that it's T-U. I just know that it's T-U-R, turmeric.
Okay.
And that, I looked at it. I had recently went and bought some, and I was looking at the package, saying the word wrong. Like, there are some things that are like seriously messed up. Also, like a good point that I heard a guy bring up today. Actually, this was pretty random because like I just saw a little. I was just watching a guy talk about the Mandela effect just like a little while ago.
Whoa.
And he had brought this up, which like I'd never really thought of, but there are a lot of things within movies and stuff, so like Forrest Gump and like Star Wars and stuff. But when you go to get the references, like from films and other like just references to those movies, they're false. They're always like, so Luke, I am your father, and it says in the Star Wars movie, no, I am your father, which is like, what? No, it doesn't. But it does. And
play it again, Sam.
Yeah,
I think he says just play it, Sam, or something like that in the actual movie.
Yeah, something weird. And but the thing is, like, you can never find references to the actual quote, like the quote that's now in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So like there's something's weird. That's all I'm saying. I don't know what's going on, but it's worth not investing a lot of time into, but as much time as you'd invest into a movie. Right?
Yeah.
If you're going to be entertained in something like this.
Sure. Yeah. It's
a mystery.
It's fascinating. And it's, well, that's what, I guess what I was getting at with, you know, bringing it up in the first place is that there are, so we try to look at the world concrete, and there's just so much metaphysical shit that happens where we could explain it away as, you know, coincidence or how our brains are wired to perceive things or however you want to do it. But some of it's really, really weird. Have you ever heard of ZIPFS? I don't know if I say it wrong. Z-I-P-F-S, ZIPFS law?
No, I haven't.
All right. Be prepared to have your mind blown. All right. So if you take all the words that are used in the English language and you count their frequency, the most frequent word is the. And this is where it gets weird. The next most frequent word, and I don't know what it is. I could probably just Google it real quickly. But the most next frequent word is used exactly half as many times as the is used. And then the next most used word is used exactly one third the amount of times that the word the is used. And it goes on and on and on. So you say, all right, that's a little weird. So I think I saw this on Vsauce. So the Vsauce guy is like, no, let's see if it works. So he took sauce, and sauce is like the most 5,555th most used word in the English language. And he took it, you know, he did the math, you know, compared it to the, and he said, so I should be around 30,000 on Wikipedia. You know, if I do this equation on Wikipedia, you know, where we check all the words, I should be the around 30,000, whatever. Sure as shit, he's 30,000. And it gets even weirder. It's the same if you use it, if you're analyzing French, if you're analyzing German, if you're analyzing Arabic, if you're analyzing dead languages, that ratio continues to show up.
It's just like the way that we produce language, or that language is produced in humans. I wonder if it would work with like animal,
some sort of communication. I know, yeah, that it shows up beyond that too. It let me look up something right here. Like, it shows up everywhere. So and then he gets into it really, like, when you listen to it, you're like, this can't be real. You know, because, and that guy, the Vsauce guy, isn't, you know, he doesn't go up and just do bullshit. He he explains, you know, real stuff. And it's almost like, there you go. You know, we're in some sort of matrix, because I think it's like, I don't remember. I know that one time, and it might be related, one time someone was analyzing waves, ocean waves, and they came up with a binary code, ones and zeros, it came down to. And it's like, what the hell? Like, you can break down what seems to be random molecules of a liquid substance, but you can break it down mathematically, like how it's supposed to operate. How do you explain that stuff?
Yeah, you literally can't. And it's almost like, I'm pretty sure, like, I've heard that it's like the statistics around, like, it's mathematically impossible for this universe or whatever it is that we live in to not have been created by something intelligent, right? Like, the law of, like, nothing is created from, like, you can't create something from nothing. Everything has to come from something. But that doesn't mean that, like once again, like, when I talk about God and stuff, it's just like, it's like an outside force. So, like, I don't know, I've said it before, the only way that to, like, really imagine God would be to imagine, like, an outside thing, like, as though you created, like, a computer game, and we are, like you said, like, the computer simulation. As much as we could understand about this entire simulation, we could never understand the thing that created this reality that we're within.
Right.
But, like, yeah, the odds are, like, yeah, all this is going on by chance. It doesn't make any sense. It's so slim. I'm not a scientist. I couldn't tell you. But personally, it seems unfathomable to have just all happened by chance and be all happening by chance.
Right. They say that since we know that AI, at least at this point, we can predict that AI is going to come online. And AI will naturally replicate itself or fix itself and reprogram itself and all that. That eventually we'll have super AI and super artificial intelligence. So that means we're now dealing with the smartest entity to ever exist. You know, so we can't, it's almost like trying to describe a dimension that doesn't exist. How do you do it? You can only use the reference of your reality. But when you start trying to describe something beyond your reality, it's impossible. We don't have the adjectives to it to do it. We don't have any way to describe this. But so they've tried to predict what would happen. Let's say we do create something that is smarter than humans. So now it's in reality the smartest thing that's ever existed, as far as we know. It would probably, you know, given the chances and given what we've done, it would probably run synthetic scenarios. What do they call those? I can't even think of the name. It's a stupid name. I just can't think of it. Simulations. So it would run simulations to see where it came from, how it became, what are the possibilities, and those simulations would be indiscernible from reality, because this thing would be able to create artificial intelligence. Artificial intelligence by nature is an intelligent thing that was created by something else, I guess. So let's say it runs 10,000 of those scenarios. Let's say it runs 5,000 of those scenarios. That means there would be 5,000 indiscernible realities. Like, the people who lived in them would not know whether they are in a reality or in a simulation by an artificial intelligence. So thinking about that, thinking about where our future is heading, it means that for us to be in the actual real one, the original one, would be a 1 in 5,000 chance. Or if it ran 100,000, a 1 in 100,000 chance, because we wouldn't know. What does it mean? It doesn't really mean anything, because you're kind of stuck in this universe that you're stuck in, but still, still, Elon Musk was talking about this and saying that how he says we probably do live in a simulation.
Yeah.
Chew on that one.
Yeah, I do remember hearing that. Yeah. No, I remember hearing that. And Yeah, and that's the whole point. It's like we're moving into, that's why I say it's like the reality that we live in is like, it's like we live in a movie. Like we're actively moving towards becoming the Matrix, basically. Mm-hmm. And everybody's just like standing by watching it happen, letting it happen. Not, and you know, there are some people that are talking about it, like you and I are speaking about it right now, but on average, like you don't hear about it on the news, like being projected on like television or like, I don't know. It's just, it isn't in your face like it should be. It's not a problem, I guess. It's not being looked at as a problem.
Right. Where do you think, where does it take us? Like, let's say that, so some people judge their actions by how they are being judged by their creator. If more and more people aren't believing a creator, where are they having their actions judged? Like, you know, I guess I'm saying, I don't know what I'm saying. I guess after religion, if religion becomes a former thing that people believed in, do you think that folks will make their decisions based on some innate morality? Or do you think we would have some crazy shit going on?
Well, that leads to like one of a couple choices. So like depends on how you look at things. But like from the religious point of view, that like comes down to like the whole like antichrist type situation. So like do away with religion and have like a one world government that is run by a spiritual entity that is a negative being, but is being projected as a positive one that is higher than the average citizen, so people just follow that instead of religion anymore. There's now one religion, one world government, and yada yada yada. But that's basically like the negative scenario from Christianity. But also it could just go into like a one world government that people follow with no spiritual side, no crazy entity or one religion. Right. Although it does seem to be, if you've seen, there's certain things around like moving towards a one world religion, which seems to be a little strange. But so other than like that whole scenario or like a version of that without the religious aspects, just like basically following the government without that, the only thing that I could see would be people just basically relying on themselves. So everybody's definition of what's good and bad would vary just drastically between each individual, and life would be pretty chaotic.
Yeah. I think the community is one of the great benefits of religion. I think people need to belong to a community. Because there's culture.
Agreed.
I don't know, and it gives people something to look forward to. Yeah, I don't know. I don't have an answer for it. I would hope that people, you know, I don't espouse any single belief. I think folks who are die hard a certain religion, all the way to folks who are diehard atheists, it's got to be boring, because you're telling yourself that this is it. You know, this is the ultimate answer, and it kind of shuts you off from other answers that are out there. So I'm hoping that deep inside, you know, we act morally because as monkeys, which basically, you know, what are we? We're primates, right? We're type of primate. We have a need to be in a community because that's how we survive. And our conscience keeps us from, you know, I guess killing others in our group, keeps us trying to keep the rest of the group alive. So maybe we'll regress a little bit and we'll become more like primates, in that our actions are for the better of the group than for ourselves. Who knows? But maybe people do need thou shall not steal in order to not steal. I don't know.
No, it's a good, that was a good, good insight though. We may just revert to more animalistic traits and go off of like just our, whatever you'd call it, instincts, basic instincts. And like, yeah, we are very social creatures. And if you're not being accepted by the community, then there's going to be a problem, like with yourself, right? Like you'll feel that, like it'll have an impact on the individual. So yeah, community guidelines would be a big part of that future. I think a big positive part.
Yeah. All right. Let's start winding this up, but do you have any plans in the future? Because I've chatted with a lot of folks, and a lot of people are getting good insight and good content by going to, I'm totally changing direction here, but by going to the areas where, I guess, the news is taking place. So you want to get into journalism. Do you have any desire to go to, like, I think Ben Shapiro is going to be talking at Berkeley coming up. That's going to be a hot zone. It would be a good place to be if you want to, you know, bring some footage back or kind of document what happens.
Yeah, that would be a pretty serious situation. Unfortunately, I'm like pretty far away from there.
Yeah. Where is Toronto?
But
I know that's a stupid thing to say, but I honestly.
So it's like the closest big city, like we're over top of like Rochester,
yeah.
Closest to, or like New York. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember now, it's right across the lake there. My, my wife is from Erie, Pennsylvania. So you guys are actually pretty close to each other, right?
Yeah. But yeah, no, Toronto has a lot of protests. And which is strange, like, it's strange that there are protests here in Canada about issues that are happening in the United States. It just, that also baffles me. One of the only people that I've seen around this area, I think it's Vlad TV.
Is he the guy that's like, no, I'm thinking of the squatting.
Squatting Vlad.
Oh, okay. Yeah. He's funny.
That's what I meant. Yeah. Vlad TV is another interview guy. But either way, yeah. So he's like a Russian dude or something. A very, very funny dude. Hilarious.
Yeah.
And he's gotten lots of good footage. But like, yeah, so like, That's the type of area that I'd be in. So I've been looking forward to going and getting out to more protests like that. I haven't been out to any since this whole change in the way that I've approached these subjects. Like last time you would have caught me at an event like that, I probably would have been there at the event, supporting the event,
okay.
Not fully understanding what the event was about, but screaming in the streets like an idiot.
Right.
And yeah, so... yeah, I'd like to get out to more. I just haven't had a chance yet.
Well, I think I had mentioned in my email, you know, I had talked to the guys from based in LA. Should check out their site. It's really good. They got some neat stuff that they're working on. But Jeff said that he can get behind enemy lines because he's got the gay accent.
Yeah.
And if you keep your dreads and your beard and do you have gauges? Does it look like I think that's what
they're called. Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Man, you can get right behind there.
Just throw a. Oh yeah, no. Like I got a nice face mask, one of those ones they use. So
yeah, there you go.
Just throw that on and go back there. Start talking.
It could be dangerous.
But that's the whole thing though. Like as soon as you start talking to people, they shut down because. I've heard this brought up before and it's really made me think a lot, especially even in the way that I engage in conversation, but a lot of the time they don't want to be right. They don't even care whether or not they're right. They just want to win the argument or win like that debate. They don't care about what facts you're bringing up. They just want to be right. So even if you're bringing up a perfect counter argument, they're not going to back down a lot of the time. And so you really have to approach it in a way that like you're not aggressively attacking these people and you're just giving them information that hopefully later on they'll go home and think, oh, that does make a lot of sense. Maybe I should check that out. Or like, I've never thought of it that way. Maybe I've been thinking wrong, but like it's almost like 10 out of 10. It's like, it's almost 10 out of 10, but I won't say that 9 out of 10 times. You're not going to change their mind right there on the spot. You're not going to change anybody's mind. It's like a lot of people approach discussions in the wrong way
and sure
they just want to be heard.
Yeah and I guess they don't want to feel stupid or I don't know what it is, but and the sad part is when you shut down discussion, they even like not only do they shut down discussion, but they shoot down any chance they have to change your mind about something.
Yeah, I've like that's one of the main things that started me off getting into this whole like how like I don't necessarily prescribe to any political affiliation, but when I started looking into different political issues, the people that were being deemed racist or far right were the only people that were willing to engage in conversation. So if I wanted to become radical Antifa member, I couldn't even do it because nobody's giving me the information how to do it. Or like, if even like, and not even that, like if you want to go like even lighter, if I just want to support issues on the left, like if I want to support, give me a good reason to support the gender pay gap, and you give me some information and I say, well, what about this? And if you just start freaking out and don't give me a good counter argument, how am I ever supposed to fall in line with your values? All I want to do is get the information. Just give me the information. Please stop getting upset and tell me what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's important that, you know, the folks that I've interviewed with this whole political discussion that I've had, it's important for you guys because you have an outlet. You've got the balls to do it, because I would be afraid to really get too deep into politics nowadays with fear of, I don't know, getting doxxed or whatever. But no, I mean, it's important. The conversation needs to be there. And we also, you have to see what the other side's doing. And, you know, the violence, the, reverse racism, you can call it that, these things have to be exposed so they can look at themselves and say, holy shit, we're acting like assholes. Let's get together and talk. And who knows, maybe that'll happen. Maybe the pendulum will swing a little bit and people will cool off. And the individuals who are causing all the problems will disappear, or I don't know. But it'll be interesting to see. I think it's important for you guys to continue going out there. And, you know, if it means finding yourself in the middle of the Battle of Berkeley or Battle of Toronto, then do it. Because people like myself, I mean, I can't get my news from the mainstream media. Nobody can. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you can, but you're going to be not educated on what's going on. So the only option beyond that is to engage with people through social media and try to chat, try to have conversations. And I can't be in Toronto tomorrow, but you can. And you have Periscope or whatever, and you can show the world what's going on and try, and, you know, unfiltered, you know, don't go into it with a bias saying, look at what these assholes are doing. No, you go in there and say, look at what's happening, and you decide for yourself.
Yeah. And that's the main thing that I've been thinking of lately. It's like the mainstream media is dying. We get our news sources from independent people when they're live streaming at an event, like, right back to what I was just saying, everybody's being called racist. And then I go and I could watch Donald Trump was being called a racist during the elections. It's like, I could go and see if he was saying anything racist. And I chose to watch the elections a few times, the debates, or just rallies, his rallies, I guess it would be, a few times, because I was hearing that he was like super racist and homophobic and Islamophobic and all these different buzzwords. And so I go and watch the rallies live and check them out from multiple sources, because they're coming from just random people there filming the rally. And you can see what he's saying. He's just saying normal things. It's like, you know, you could criticize what he has to say, but don't make things up, because right, that's just going to turn regular people like me away. And, you know, it's like, if you're going to be making up lies about somebody for no reason when there's legitimate things to be addressing, then what are you going to do when there's something, like, no one's going to take you seriously when there's something that's actually wrong, because you've just been arguing or you've just been complaining about everything the entire time that nobody's cared about. Mm-hmm. Not everybody's cared about.
I have this, you've heard of Schadenfreude, right? Shameful glee or shameful joy. Trump wasn't my pick. I didn't have any picks. I had no horses in the race. So I was just sitting back and watching, enjoying the circus. But I love the fact that he is burning the system down. I freaking love it. It's like just front page or front row seat to the political class shitting their pants and losing their minds every day when he says something. And, you know, we could get past, and maybe he should stop tweeting or something, get past all this petty stuff and just, you know, say, okay, here's the task at hand. Trump, you know, see what you can do. and then wait and see what he does, and then say, okay, that decision cost 50,000 jobs, probably not a good decision, or this decision granted access to healthcare for 100,000 people. Okay, we can. And then how much did that cost? What I'm saying is concrete stuff. And put all the other little bullshit aside. Two scoops of ice cream they got all over for.
Yeah.
It's like, I want to see how this guy, we gave him the keys. Let's watch what he does for the next 4 years. And if he starts, quoting Mein Kampf and doing stuff like that, then we can all just say, all right, yep, this guy's wrong.
But it's almost at the point now, though, that like he could start doing that and people wouldn't even take it seriously because of the amount of times people have already referenced him to Hitler.
Yeah.
In general.
They've
gone so overboard with such minuscule things that it's like when he does do something wrong, or if he was to do something wrong, it wouldn't be looked at with like the velocity that it should. Like it wouldn't be as big of a deal because you've made such a big deal. If he did, what would they do? What would they start saying? Oh, Trump is literally Hitler.
Yeah.
You've already been saying that.
Yeah. That's right? Funny. Well, yeah, it's going to be interesting 3.5 years to say the least, and maybe 8 years, who knows, but, thanks. Thanks. You go by Elder, right?
Yeah. Elder.
Okay. And, thanks Elder for coming on the show. People can find you at on Twitter. What's your,
Bad Habits. So, B Bad H Habits.
Okay. And you don't have a open debate, Twitter handle or anything like that?
That's just the one that I use for the open debate.
Okay. And then they can find, the open debate. Really all you have to do is just put in the open debate in Google and you'll find, I found it actually on YouTube that way.
It's youtube.com/theopendebate.
Okay. You can go on there and check out what he has to say. And any parting words?
Be true to yourself and never be afraid to speak up for what you believe in.
All right. Yeah, well,
thank you for having me on. It was a really good time. I enjoyed the conversation.
Yeah, I had fun. It'll be out. I got a bunch of shows. I'm working on a YouTube project of myself that is really not related to anything that I've done in the past. So I'm putting a bunch of these shows in the queue so I can have about 2 or 3 months without having to interview or do anything like that, and just to have them publish while I work on this this other project. We'll see how it goes. But I'll let you know. I'll tweet you or send you an email when yours goes up. It'll be sometime between now and September.
Awesome.
Okay.
That's cool.
All right, man. Stay safe.
Yeah, have a good night.
All right. Take care.
Like us on facebook.com/WWIPodcast and at WWIPodcast on Twitter. Drop us a line at waitswhatifpodcast@yahoo.com. Listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher, or TuneIn Internet Radio. Enjoyed your listening experience. Now go forth and expand your reality.